It's time for Hoag Health Radio. Here's your host, Deborah Howell.
Cheers to you and welcome back to the show. We are really, really happy you could spare a few minutes to spend with us today. On the show today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Jeffrey Yoshida with me. He is the Associate Medical Director of the Urologic Oncology Department at Hoag. Welcome, Dr. Yoshida.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, although it's never pleasant to hear that you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, at least it's sort of an exciting age in which we can go after it with gusto and with state-of-the-art technology that offers real hope for many patients to defeat this disease. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the robotic prostate surgery procedure and how it's changed the game for so many patients.
Well, it's a minimally invasive surgical approach, so as with other minimally invasive surgeries, the recovery time is markedly reduced. So when now patients, are spending one night in the hospital, they're back on their feet and getting back to fairly normal activities within a few weeks of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
With the open surgery, the recovery was much longer. So they were dealing with, a longer period of pain and that kind of thing.
And loss of work and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about the procedure itself.
Okay, so what we do is once the patient is put to sleep, we put these hollow cylinders, which are about the diameter of your finger. They go from the outside to the inside of the abdominal cavity.
Mm-hmm.
The robot then attaches to these cylinders, and then the instruments from the robot enter the body. A fiber optic camera is also placed within the body, and all this then gets controlled through the robot. So once I set all this up, then I go and sit in the console unit, which is kind of the command center,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Cockpit.
And I have a view of the inside. I have my instruments, and I then begin the surgery almost like I'm on the inside of the patient.
Now, you probably don't use a mouse. What kind of a lever do you use or...
Well, I have a caliper for both hands, and the caliper I can move it in any direction I want to.
Okay.
And I can squeeze the caliper. So if I had something like a forceps or a scissor, when I squeeze the caliper, it closes the tip of the instrument.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's
and
so just
I have three instruments at my disposal at once, and then I control the camera as well.
Okay. Only two hands, but three instruments. So
yeah.
You have to be a little bit nimble.
Well, I can toggle between two instruments on my left hand, so I can use one to hold the tissue, and then the other one's active, and then I can toggle between both instruments.
Okay, if you're an Apple user, you know what toggling means. So
absolutely.
And this is, you're talking specifically about the Da Vinci robotical surgical system, right?
That's correct, the Da Vinci made by Intuitive Surgical.
Mm-hmm. And what makes that your instrument of choice?
Well, it's really the only robotic, it's the only robotic unit available. It was released in the early 2000, and really robotics kind of got on their way in about 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And no other company has really come out with a competitive type unit.
That would make it an easy choice then. So we're inside, we have the cylinders. What's the next step? You're manipulating, but what are you actually doing? What are you putting into the body? What are you taking out?
Well, then I want to obviously, start working on the prostate. So I need to separate the prostate from the bladder and urethra. And the prostate's about a walnut size or plum size organ between the bladder and the urethra. So
mm-hmm.
what I then do is I separate the gland. I obviously try to spare the nerves that control erections, which are really intimately attached to the prostate. So I have to carefully dissect the nerves off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we once the prostate's separate, then we actually put it in the we stuff it in a clear sterile bag that has a long drawstring.
Okay.
And then we place that aside, and then we reattach the bladder to the urethra. We try to reconstruct some of the attachments of the sphincter to the bladder.
Okay.
And then when that's all completed, we put a catheter in the patient, and we pull the prostate out through the belly button, and we close everything up.
Absolutely incredible. You can do all that while sitting in your cockpit and not even in the room. It's amazing.
Well, the control center is actually in the corner of the room. So we are in the operating room still.
Okay, great. And then you have a team of how many people helping you with this?
I have one surgical assistant, and then we have a couple nurses that then help as well, and then obviously the anesthesiologist. So mm-hmm. it's about five of us.
Okay. And how long is the typical procedure if everything goes well?
From the time from the time the patient enters the operating room, and then, you know, including the time that it takes us to put the patient to sleep, prepare the patient, do the surgery, waking up the patient, et cetera, it's about 3.5 to 4 hours.
Okay.
The actual surgery time is about 3 hours, sometimes a little bit less than 3 hours.
Okay, now have you been talking about radical nephrectomy or a partial nephrectomy, and if maybe you could differentiate the two for us?
Okay, so we were just talking about radical prostatectomy, but for a nephrectomy, that's actually kidney surgery.
Okay.
So when we're talking about radical nephrectomy, that's actual removal of the entire kidney when there's a cancerous, you know, a cancer within the kidney. A partial nephrectomy has really been evolving over the last several years, and what we try to do is just cut the tumor out, leaving mm-hmm. Majority of the kidney behind, and that obviously potentially saves the renal function of that kidney.
Sure.
And
sure.
Can prevent dialysis and renal insufficiency or kidney insufficiency in the future.
But that seems like a wild leap of subject, I know, but you're mm-hmm. very involved in both, and that's why I brought that up.
Yeah, and actually, you know, just to add with the robotics is very big in the partial nephrectomy scene right now because
okay.
of the ability to do a lot of reconstructive work.
Okay.
So, you know, I would look for robotics really kind of potentially taking over the partial nephrectomy, partial nephrectomy scene in the next, you know, in the next year or two.
Okay, so the Da Vinci robotic surgical system is used only for prostatectomy and nephrectomy and any other organs?
Absolutely. The biggest growing field, the fastest growing field with robotics is gynecologic surgery. So a hysterectomy, removal mm-hmm. of the ovaries called an oophorectomy, removal of uterine fibroids, et cetera, that's the fastest growing field. There's also thoracic surgeons use it, and cardiac surgeons use it, pediatric surgeons use it,
mm-hmm.
and then the colorectal surgeons are starting to adopt it as well. So you can see there's a lot of disciplines that are really involved with it.
Incredible. Well, I'm sure there'll be more similar technology. I'm sure it's probably on the table somewhere now all around the world, people working on similar systems. But right now we're very grateful to have Da Vinci at our disposal, huh?
Absolutely. It's a great system.
Tell us a little bit about your staff and your facilities.
Well, everybody is very, because we do so many robotic surgeries now, everybody is trained on the unit. So, you know, we have people that prepare the robot prior to surgery. Everybody knows how to do that. Everybody's an expert. All the nurses are well trained. My assistants are very well trained
mm-hmm.
Because we do so many. So,
sure.
You know, going to a center that does a high volume is really important.
Okay, high volume. Also, maintenance of the machine. You have to make sure that the
yeah.
machine is working perfectly. You can't drive a car forever and expect it to keep running perfectly.
Yeah. Well, the company is actively checking the systems. They can actually check the systems remotely. They're always doing software updates, and that kind of thing. So they're really active in keeping that up and running too.
Do you find that some of your patients who are maybe a little bit more set in their ways actually prefer open surgery just because they know it's human beings and not a machine? Do you have any people who are just really dead set against that?
Not really. You know, when I first started doing robotics in 2003, you would see that more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a lot more skeptical about new technology. But it's been around long enough now, and everybody knows somebody who's had a robotic surgery, it seems. So
sure.
Even the guys that are, you know, the most skeptical or would have been the most skeptical are really open to it.
Yeah, there really are no advantages to go with open surgery when you have the option for robotic. There's not something you might miss because you don't go in there physically.
No, not with an experienced surgeon. I don't think you're losing anything. I think the open surgery is still. Is still needed for certain patients. You know, patients who have had prior abdominal surgery, like a removal of a portion of their intestine or something like that,
okay.
they might have so much scarring from that doing the robotic surgery is not possible. So
sure.
open surgery still has a place.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But sometimes when there is an option, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer to...
Yeah. Not too many my patients have decided to go open when given both options.
Okay. Yeah. I have a general number. It's 949-722-6237. Even easier, it's 949-7-CANCER. And what is that number for, Jeffrey?
Well, if you're interested in learning more about, if you have prostate cancer or other types of cancers, that's the general number to the Ho Cancer Center. And they can direct you to Nancy Raymond, who is the prostate cancer nurse coordinator.